Oh, my good Christopher, what I would do for in an entrance from the band 311. It is Stunt Granny 311. This is Kevin. Chris, you're on the other line. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Well, as we were discussing before this show, I unlatched a ladder and thought I could just push it up a rung when I was in the field today. I was wrong. Gravity won, and gravity ran into my pinky toe and the toe beside it, because I still haven't really looked up the word for the toe beside it.
Yeah, no, I don't really
It's
know what.
I don't really care either. Like, that's how li I like I'm not even trying to figure it out on Wikipedia right now, because it's not worth it to me. But yeah, those toes, they are significantly black and blue at this current moment. They are a little ouchy, one might say. And yeah, I'm gonna have to live with them probably for about the next month or so. So, yay me. I got no one to blame but myself. I was the big idiot. Yeah, that's the other fun thing. I can't blame anybody but me. That's why in my Instagram post I put, "I am an idiot." Because there is no getting around it.
These things happen all the time to everyone, don't worry.
Yeah, they do. So that's why I just find it best to fess up and keep on moving along.
And moving along is it still moving along is Tough Enough. Are we both just watched Tough Enough and the Tough Talk after show? Man, they need to do something with the format of the main show. It's just this week was the worst yet. I thought.
Yeah, like it just really feels disorganized. Like, the parts I don't mind, but like everything doesn't go together.
I mean, I'll give them
But
credit where it's due for one thing. They finally moved the pleas for to the voters to before the voting actually started for once. Or did they? I think they did.
they redid their ring entrances.
Right, yeah.
Before the voting started, or just as the voting started. So yeah, you're right. They did do that. Like, and I guess that's the other thing is I don't mind the segments of the show. It's just maybe I just feel like they have Jericho and Renee Young. Like, I feel like they have potential together as a team, but they're so awkward together.
They're awkward. They are just playing game. They are just playing game show hosts. They are Paige, Pat Sajak and Vanna White, or maybe Vanna White isn't the best because Vanna White never says anything. But
It's more like Michael and Kelly or something like that.
yeah, something like that. It's just they're not being utilized. But that's where once again we keep on saying it, the audience voting, takes the teeth out of, in previous years who the main host or the main coach. Able to kind of send people home on their own. So it's part of what's it's definitely a huge part of what's not working about the show. And this is, of course, a major thing that really just it was probably it was almost insulting. I thought was just zero in no, nothing,
Well,
no physical competition, no n nothing about. Nothing in ring at all, I thought.
I did think it was a lot of fun this week. Like, Seth Rollins to me, so far, he has been the best, like surprise guest guy. And maybe it is just because he got to do a personality segment instead of just like Roman Reigns didn't have much to say last week, honestly. And I'm trying to think of who the surprise guest was in the first week, and it's not.
There wasn't one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is only the second time they've busted out a guest, and yeah, I thought Rollins did really well. Maybe not the first guy you think of when you think of, you know, personality, but obviously he's done amazing work and improved that part of his game. But still not the most charismatic guy on the roster. But he definitely had some good advice for everyone. He was into, you know, just the idea of being there way more than Roman Reigns showed last week, and an actual, you know, kind of happiness with being there.
Right. Yeah. He seemed like he was enjoying his time there, and He was just pretty, I mean, he was very straightforward. Like, he really wasn't beating around the bush about any of this stuff that he was talking about with the gimmick stuff. Like, he just kind of gave them his impression for, you know, what he thought of their little phrase that they got.
Yeah, that's what he was there for. He played his role well.
Well, yeah, I just think that some people kind of beat around the bush too much when they get put into that spot, and I think that's why Rollins was kind of fresh to me about it.
Yeah, he was absolutely, it was refreshing. I mean, because, why shouldn't he be honest, you know?
Well, that's what I always think, though. I'm like, why aren't you honest? Like, it's one of those things that I just don't understand with a lot of these shows that are kind of like this.
Yeah, there's nothing. You're already established. Whether these people succeed or fail is you know, is no skin off your ass. So just might as well be honest with them, and maybe, just maybe, they'll learn something.
Yeah, but again, like, that was just by itself, it was a good segment. But it just seemed clunky with, like, an introduction and then another Renee Young, Chris Jericho thing kind of, in its, I feel like they came in the middle of that thing or something.
Yeah, it's the whole show just, it doesn't feel like it's something that should be on USA. It really does feel like something that should just be on the network. I mean, I think the production values seem pretty low. The format of the show just isn't like something that even should be on national television, to be honest.
Well, and we were just discussing this too. Like, honestly, it seems like they should be doing the opposite thing. The Tough Talk Live is just significantly better than the show itself.
Yeah, that's the one that almost seems like, you know, Vince and Kevin Dunn go to bed or something, and then everyone else just gets to, you know, be creatively free to just say and do whatever they want.
Yeah, and it's awesome because, like, I mean, Hogan, like you said, after being kind of timid the first week, Hogan's just like, no, I'm Hulk fucking Hogan.
Like, yeah, exactly. He's been really good. Paige was the star of the show, and you could tell that she was offended to the nth degree that these people didn't bother to watch her match from Japan over the weekend. Now, granted, to be fair, Miz asked if they watched it live, not if they haven't watched it, if they watched it at all. So that maybe there, it's a little, you know. Now, if by Tuesday all of them haven't watched, you know, a two-hour show that was, you know, very good, that, you know, that you can watch and you can learn something from, that's BS. And anyone who hasn't watched that show by Tuesday night should be out of it.
And that was kind of the other funny thing, is that even Daniel Bryan, who maybe we said was getting a little too passive, was just like, yeah, about that.
Yeah, and then Tanner going, I think I watched it later. Who did Paige face? I don't know. Ugh. They need to bring that up on the main show, because I don't know if everyone who watches the main Tough Enough watches this, but honestly, in my...
Well,
the fact, that he's a hothead and he's not gonna assimilate well to locker room culture at all. Tanner needs to go, I think.
He's
a good athlete.
And I mean, I guess that's why I think that it should be on there. Like, you get way more of a vibe at who these people really are than the kind of, not kind of, the manufactured reality that they're doing on the show itself.
Yeah, I mean, you get the vibe that Tanner is a guy who, you know, as Patrick accused him in, I think, week one, you just want to make this money and use this as a stepping stone to get into UFC, and that's probably true.
Right. Well, and hey, I don't know if he would get Dana's attention or not at this juncture. Or at least enough to get into the Tough House, maybe, if they do his weight class at some point.
Well, he's got a. He definitely should have shown, you know, better takedown skills than he did during that fight. I mean, even if they weren't, they knew they couldn't throw hands with each other.
Yeah.
Anders should have taken Patrick down if he really is that accomplished of a fighter. That simple, you know, and he didn't.
Yeah, because I think he said he's been fighting for 10 years or something. I'm like, yeah, what kind of bullshit is this? You don't look very good. I do agree on that point. Excuse me, good gravy.
And then you got the girls, you know, you got Amanda and...
Oh, you know what? The one thing Hulk Hogan keeps on harping about... Sara Lee having the nose ring and feeling like there's something inside of her.
You can see Paige was just like, really, 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 grandpa? Really? You think a nose ring makes someone badass in this day and age?
Well, and the one thing that she didn't bring up, like, she was maybe more offended by what Hogan was saying, but to me, just because she has been so plain Jane... That's what she did to feel like a rebel. You know, I've known plenty of people that are just like, I'm gonna get back at my parents. I'm gonna get nose ring. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna get a tattoo on my inner thigh that no one ever sees.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not really like in their mind they're going overboard. But to pretty much anyone that has a baseline of even mildly crazy friends have seen things more extreme than that.
Right,
I don't think they've
just sitting next to the whole thing, we kept bringing it up, just with their head in her hands. That's kind
of
funny.
Yeah, so I think it's more of a, she's always attempted to not be plain Jane, but she is, and I mean, and that is the reason she needs to go home. Like, she's not a bad person, but she's just not suited for the WWE until she kind of gets that kind of personality.
Yeah, I agree. She's not model hot. She's, you know, the kind of the normal, you know, cute girl. You could, who's bagging your groceries, and you know, she's seems like a very nice person. So it's like I myself have given her, you know, more chances than maybe she should get, you know, in 3 weeks. I mean, I voted for her again tonight, but then it was after that that just you started thinking, you know, the wheels gonna start coming off the bus. It's like this girl doesn't have a prayer in this world.
No, and I mean, and Paige did, like, I'm gonna keep on nominating you. Like, that was the other thing, like, her bluntness is hysterical to me.
Yeah, and you can tell, because Paige is, you know, Paige is you know, putting out, you know, like what she said, you know, I worked in Japan on Saturday, I was on Raw on Monday, then I have to come here. And I have to come here, and I have to, you know, see these people... None of whom are showing her anything. None of them seem to understand what this is. Some of them seem like they don't even want to try to understand it by even bothering to watch a 2-hour show. You know, I can see, like, her frustration. Plus, you know what? SmackDown goes on without her. She doesn't get to be on SmackDown. So that's kind of, you know, hurting some will maybe hurting, you know, her angle, you know, that she's got going on with the Bella Twins. She misses an entire show a week because she's got to be on this show. I think that she's developing an entertaining chip on her shoulder about being a part of this.
Yeah, and I guess another guy that I just think that Hulk Hogan isn't wrong to keep on nominating ZZ. He's another one that you can just tell at this point, and they, you know, no one really said it or brought it up that much, but his age was hurting him in the gimmick thing, and I just think that it hurts him as an overall whole.
Yeah. ZZ, thing is, they don't need another Santino. You know, I don't believe that. I don't know if Santino ever made a $250,000 guarantee. You know?
Well, so, I just think that he just still needs a couple more years. Like, yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the time for ZZ. You know, so he's gonna, I think that, you know, and you know what, and there were some, you know, chinks in his armor as far as, like, the, his likability, too, when he just kept making it in the house, when he kept just making excuses why his presentation didn't work, and, you know.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, it definitely started to hit, like, okay, this guy, you crossed the line from, you know, being a lovable goof to just being completely lacking of any self-awareness at all, or awareness of the world around you.
Right. I'm trying to think of who else, because that's the other thing that I love about Tough Talk, is they get around to everyone.
They do. They really do. And
they make it a point to break up the segments, like, even when something's going long, if it involves a couple of people, you can just tell that someone's in Miz's earpiece. No, okay, come on, let's go.
You can definitely tell that. I mean,
he shoos them out of there fairly quickly. But again, like, you get more of an idea on all of these people in this, like, what do they probably get, 4 minutes or something a piece?
Yeah, it's about that. Well, see, there's... I think there's like 10 of them left by that point.
Yeah.
Including the person who lost, who of course gets to still stay out there. It can't be 4 minutes, please, but you know.
Three and a half.
Get longer than the others. I mean, obviously the segment with the girls, you know, being catty with each other, you know, went a really long time and maybe a little too long it was screaming back and forth. But I guess once again, they made their points. They said things about each other that can then resonate with viewers and with the judges. It's you do learn who they are. If you know, like, there's definitely an issue with, you know, certain people, and you know that you can tell that, like, sometimes with Tanner, and then, you know, maybe one or two of the girls. It's just like, I don't think you could put these people in that locker room and not have them be eaten alive, because they cannot avoid, you know, confrontation.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people in there, too, that, like, even someone to me, Patrick was the only one that watched the Tokyo event live, Beast in the East,
mm-hmm.
which I can talk about everything up until the NXT match, because I myself did not get around to watching all 2 hours of that.
No. Oh, Paige is going to slap you silly.
Paige better not hear this podcast.
Well, you can definitely watch the NXT championship match. You can stop after that.
Yeah, I mean, I did see Paige's match. I did see Brock Lesnar, which, you know, I mean, it's called Beast in the East, so, I mean, he's the main event, right?
It was essentially a double main event for what they were promoting that was more than a house show match. Although Jericho and Neville, I think, you know, they rose above the level of probably your average house show match as well, obviously.
That was a very good match. I had a lot of fun watching that.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I just said I had fun watching the whole show. I mean, I granted, you know, people haven't taken a major, you haven't seen it to part yet, but, you know, a tag match with Cena going on last. I actually didn't hate the match as much as a lot of people did, and I understand it. You know what, at the end of the day, it's a WWE crowd, you know, that sees John Cena once a year, so it doesn't matter who he's in the ring with. That was, you could argue that should have just been a dark match main event, and not on the show at all, but on the network version, but it didn't offend me.
Well, that seems silly to be offended by that, to be completely honest with you. I guess back to, I don't know, is there anyone worth talking about, though, on Tough Enough? Like, I mean, because Patrick is kind of, like, one of the few...
Patrick's starting to pull away.
I even think he... Oh, and we were talking about the locker room problems. Like, I even think he's maybe a little thin-skinned himself. Because... it was kind of interesting, at least when him and Tanner were talking, that he didn't mention that he had been in the indies, and I didn't look deep enough about any of these people to know this.
I don't either, trust me.
So, you know, it is kind of interesting, and I agree with Tanner in this regard, that, what is that? That he kind of has a little bit of a head start.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And he did, you know, Roman Reigns last week did ask, has anyone ever done this before? And Patrick didn't necessarily lie, but he didn't raise his hand either.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't even think about that. So, yeah, that part of Tanner's argument I can understand. I mean, I don't think it gives him some other advantages, but, you know, at least as far as that challenge this week with being the ring entrance, I think that if you've worked on a couple before, that you'd have a better vibe for what you need to do.
Right, but he still did end up winning the competition. I'll ask, of the three, do you think the right person went home?
Well, I think that it's,
Daria's the girl's name. I couldn't think of her name.
Daria?
Daria. I think Daria. Not like the MTV cartoon. No, I think it is Daria.
Okay, yeah. All three of them, to me, are going at some point. Like, it's still like last week, where the Daniel Bryan, Paige, and Hogan all have a save. Like, there's no reason still to save anyone. I don't think ZZ deserves to be saved when he's there. Like, there's not much he's going to be able to show at this point that makes me believe that he just needs more time. He just needs more life before he can do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, you know, we're running to the point where we're just going to start, you know, picking some people off. There's a definite front runner. For the girls, you know what? Maybe quietly, that Georgia girl, the British chick, Georgia, I think that she's maybe starting to, you know, none of the girls are walking away with it, but she's starting to step away from the pack a little bit.
Right.
Because she's not getting bogged down in the in the candy drama aspect of it at all. And then there's, which might be if which could which might be in the end might end up being Sarah Lee's biggest another big mistake for her is if she if she does let herself get dragged into it two girls against two girls with Georgia kind of on the side. Well, the girl on the side is probably gonna start to walk away with it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of who else is in there because again, to answer your question, I don't think there was anyone to me that didn't deserve it. You know, if the WWE audience picked anybody, I would have been completely fine with the decision. I personally did not vote. It's like I said, it's to me, it's a matter of time with both of them.
Yeah, it is. This just isn't for them. In Sarah Lee's case, it's probably not for her at all. In ZZ's case, yeah, he needs to gather life experience. Do some stuff in the Indies and Louisiana and, in the Mid-South area.
Right.
Lose probably a little bit of weight. It doesn't necessarily have to be a body guy, but definitely be in better shape than he is right now because it's, it's not like a bigger guy can't, at least keep up in a race. and anything that involves running, he always trails.
Right, and I think we talked about it. Big Show being a good big guy last week. There's no reason. Or even look, as much as I may not be the biggest fan of Kevin Owens' physique, that guy has no problem going on a 30-minute match.
Yeah, none. Absolutely none at all.
And I don't... Yeah, ZZ just is not capable of that kind of a response.
No, not at all. So, yeah, I think that ZZ and Sarah Lee have both gotten their... Well, gee golly, they're the nicest people here, reprieves. And now it's just they're not improving, so... They're going to probably go over the next 2 weeks unless someone else really, goes on a downhill slide.
Yeah. I think that's about good for Tough Talk. Know that we did slip in a little bit of Beast in the East talk. I guess, was that tag team match the only thing that I missed out on then?
Well, did you watch Owens versus Balor?
Yes.
You did watch Owens.
Yeah, Balor. I watched the finish of that match, and that's where I stopped.
Oh, okay, yeah. From there, once again, I didn't hate the tag match. I did not watch it. I get up at 5:30, but I ended up awake at about 6:30 and just tossed and turned and couldn't get back to sleep. So I'm like, screw it, I'll just. I had to work at like 10 o'clock, but I'm like, I got a couple hours to kill. I can watch this now. So I did watch it Saturday morning. I didn't hate the tag match, but you don't need to go out of your way to.
Okay. Well, then that's good. I mean, I might try to do that at some juncture, but it was an enjoyable. The stuff that I saw was an enjoyable event. They did try and tell a little bit of the Paige story during that pay-per-view, since she is not in on SmackDown there. Naomi wasn't there, but Tamina, I've never had a problem with her in-ring work. Her problem has mainly been personality. Over the years, in my opinion,
she'll probably never be anything more than a heavy for a smaller, prettier girl. I mean, I say it like that, but it's kind of
the way it is.
more typical, a more typical star of star of television diva. I'll say. So yeah, it's the way it is there. I mean. That match was, it was fine. I didn't have any problem with it. It was a house show match, really. It was nothing more than what you'd see on a house show.
Right. So that was fun. It was killing me that Kofi Kingston was the one to take on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that was quite funny. I mean, obviously, that, you know, I mean the story of, you know, of Brock being on that show is he had a friend in Japan he wanted to go visit, so he said, so it was just kind of like, might as well get paid for it, so. And so they just gave him the easiest night possible.
That obviously that's a draw. I mean, the guy does not have very many matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's a draw, and you know what? And it was what people want. It was absolutely what people want from Brock Lesnar. We Monday Night, which we'll get to, but it was just Brock Lesnar destroying a smaller man and just throwing him around like a rag doll, selling nothing, just shrugging off all, you know, all of Kofi's offense and just throwing him around and suplexing him and F5-ing him and then pinning him and then beating him up some more and then beating up Xavier and Big E.
Yeah, I mean, and it works in a storyline perspective too, because you can still kind of go, hey, these three guys couldn't get it done against Brock Lesnar, but the Authority got it done. And you can always sell the Jamie Noble with the rib injury.
That was absolutely perfect use of Brock on this show.
Right. So yeah, that kind of helped further a storyline too, which is nice. I have Jericho and Neville put on a good match. I mean, I think that that was nothing to sneeze at. I guess I was a little surprised at the outcome of the match. Just because I feel like Jericho's been losing a decent chunk recently.
Yeah, but...
But I don't begrudge him winning either.
Yeah, no. I mean, at a certain point, beating Chris Jericho just started not to mean very much. So he probably usually just give him one win. Not that this was any kind of a regular return to television for him. He's on his house show tour, summer tour, and it just so happened that they decided to air this one live on the network. So,
right. And then the one thing that definitely was not house showy about this show was Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah, they definitely treated this like a pay per view, like an NXT special match. It was really, you know, very different. They allowed the traditional Japanese presentation with streamers and the flower girls. Although I've watched enough New Japan over the last year or two that they really don't do the flower girl presentations much in Japanese main events. But it added a nice touch when Kevin Owens just pitched the flowers into the aisleway. Although hilariously, Kevin Owens did not throw flowers further than Brock Lesnar through a car door.
Well, I have got to admit, I did not think about things in that term. But I will defend Kevin Owens a little bit. His trajectory was down. Brock Lesnar went for more of a discus throw. Which will give you a little more distance.
That is true. I will give you that. But no. But yes, the presentation was obviously the presentation of the match was tremendous. To do the tradition now, they definitely do still do streamers and, you know, before big main events in Japan, and that was an incredible effect and something I don't think I ever thought I'd see on a WWE show. And but, you know, they went with it, and, know, they ended up then having a tremendous, I mean, Kevin Owens throughout this whole, the whole thing was great. Like, you know, and of course, you know, this great traditional, Japanese championship match celebration. Kevin Owens, meanwhile, when they're clearing out the ring, is like an attitude of, get this trash out of here. How dare you throw this into my ring?
Yeah, he is doing a fantastic job. Like, it's hard to be hateable in this day and age, and I think he does a fantastic job of being hateable.
Yeah. He absolutely does. I mean, I love the run across the ring into the chin lock. that was so great. While he's saying I hate this country.
I will have to say, just even from this short stint here that I've seen him in the WWE, that it's an understatement to say that he had gotten uninspired in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that before. I mean, him and Cornette hated each other. He pretty much, by 2011, had already, when the Sinclair takeover took place, and they finally had a one-hour show in your neck of the woods by that point, he'd already hit the wall with Ring of Honor. So
right,
he's obviously ridiculously inspired right now, and just in many ways probably the best heel in the business. I think, even though obviously Seth Rollins is positioned ahead of him, I think as far as being a heel performer is concerned, I would put Owens above Rollins at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, they've definitely gone two different routes. And, you know, you'd probably put more credibility into Kevin Owens' offense at this point, to the average viewer.
He pins Cena with his finish.
Right.
Who gets to do that?
Not very many people.
Yeah, no.
It's a pretty short list.
Yeah, and he's had, had to have some excellent matches with Cena. He had an excellent match with Finn Balor, so, and, played his character perfectly, and just, he's become a very, 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 very valuable guy, and, just pretty much he has character down. His instincts for how to play everything, facial expressions, body language, everything he does is pretty right on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's really knocking it out of the park at the current moment. And in every way, did he earn his promotion through demotion? As one might say in this case, he lost the NXT championship, but he is comfortably on the main roster now.
Yeah, he is. He's comfortably on the main roster. He's once again in yet another, going to be in yet another semi-main event coming up in 2 weeks, and he'll very likely be in the semi-main event of SummerSlam. So yeah, things are going well for Mr. Owens, without a doubt.
It'll be kind of interesting. I don't think Jeremy, and I've slacked off on my NXT watching some, but I know I've still watched more than Jeremy, at least. And I really love Finn Balor. It'll be interesting to see how long he stays down there, to be completely honest with you. I don't feel like he has much more to learn either.
Right, but as an NXT as a brand, though.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's out until 2016. Itami out until late 2015. Owens leaving. I think they might keep Balor in NXT as the champion for a while of that brand, and if they're not ready for him to come up to the main roster and make the immediate impact like Kevin Owens, then he probably is better off in NXT as a champion for a while, because they got a number of big shows coming up. They're, you know, obviously they're going to Barclays Center, which is, you know, going to be potentially be ridiculous, and you know, they're doing a bunch of, you know, music tours. I know they got the festival in Louisville and another, you know, music festival in, I think, out in Sacramento, you know, in the fall coming. So I think that they're, I don't really have much of a problem with Finn Balor staying in NXT for, you know, to you know, probably about the end of the year. I would, if he's still in NXT, you know, come WrestleMania season, and he isn't figured prominently in WrestleMania, I think that's a huge mistake. But you know, 3 or 4 more months in NXT won't hurt, and you know, allow him to have an actual real reign as NXT champion instead of being like a transitional champion who loses in a month or so and doesn't really make that much of an impact. I mean,
I do agree with you that I don't think that they're gonna bring him up mostly because of those reasons. Like, not that he's like Neville, but you know, they do have some similarities at least. And Owens is just coming up. Like, they can't afford, like, because they're doing okay with the brand, and I mean, we've talked about this topic before, to kind of keep things going, there are going to be some people that kind of have to stay behind. And I could see, as you say, like, the next 3 or 4 months, like, everyone can always get introduced in the Royal Rumble. Like, that is always if it doesn't happen by then, it would be kind of interesting and maybe something to talk about. But we're also 6 months really removed from that happening.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, I think that Balor is good where he is. They're, you know, they absolutely need to, you know, build up kind of that maybe the next generations of indie darlings, as well as, you know, their homegrown talent, and have, you know, someone like a Finn Balor as a base to build around, at least once again for the next few months. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him, you know, because they absolutely focused the camera on Hideo Tommy after Balor's win, and it's not like he wasn't giving a look like, you know, he was happy for his friend.
Oh,
he looked like, you know, this was supposed to be my opportunity. This is supposed to be my opportunity. This is supposed to be my night. So I can see that being a match towards the fall. I can certainly see that. I mean, if they're going into Barclays for the night before SummerSlam, I could see them doing Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe at that one. I think that would be the best main event that they could do for that show. Especially if Kevin Owens isn't going to be wrestling on it, because he's going to be figured prominently in the SummerSlam. Although I think I did sit here that Owens is being advertised for that NXT show in Brooklyn. So that'll be interesting to see how everything kind of breaks down with that.
Okay.
It'd be very interesting to see, because I mean, the word is that they're going to set it up for 5,000 people at Barclays Center, but if tickets like move fast, they're just going to keep, you know, they're going to, you know, roll out another block of tickets. And who knows, maybe there will end up being, you know, more than 10,000 people at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn watching NXT, which would be really amazing.
yes, it would be. And I'm trying to think if there was any other, well, you kind of brought it up, since we kind of talked about the Beast in the East. Brock Lesnar destroying the car was one of two, I would say, major highlights of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I absolutely made the comment. in our little Facebook group. Maybe the two best segments on Raw in months, if not years, were on this show, and then there's still going to be people focusing on one boring and bitching about one boring segment in hour two. You know, what can you say about a show that featured two segments? Like, we'll get into the other one later, but right now, but yeah, let's focus on, you know, Brock Lesnar just destroying that car, destroying J&J security, flinging that door in a moment that could have just been absolutely tragic, which thankfully it wasn't.
Yeah. Shahid mentioning that he damn near killed someone with the car door. It's hilarious. Like, I don't know what it was. I mentioned this to him. I honestly felt like that barriered off area was deeper than normal.
Yeah, they gave him so much room, and yet he still chucked it like he was a discus throw in the Olympics.
Oh man, that was just amazing.
It really was. I mean, thankfully, it came apart in the air and. The soft, you know, inside, it was what ended up actually landing in the crowd, and not the actual metal card, or because that would have been very bad. Like,
yeah, and it's just kind of funny. Those new cars do not break like the old cars. Like, you are not throwing an axe into like metal these days. Like, it is a There is metal in there, but it's a lot of plastic. And that just made for Brock Lesnar pretty much bouncing an axe off the car a couple of times.
Yeah, he could have taken off his own head, too. You know, it was beautiful. It was awesome. It was, I mean, maybe Brock Lesnar is a guy that at times you have to reel him in and kind of maybe tell him to, you know, scale it back a little bit, but that is so much better than having anyone, most of the other guys on the roster, you have to keep pounding in their heads, like, bring it, you know, like people on Tough Enough. Bring it up. With Brock, he's naturally up all the way, and you actually have to rein that in so he doesn't kill someone.
I think that is a very apt description of everything. Involved Brock Lesnar this week.
It was absolutely a segment that was absolutely needed, I thought. I mean, the second they introduced that car last week, like, you knew you kind of knew this was happening.
Well, I've got to admit, again, like, I am guilty of thinking that last week's segment was just boring. In that they, you know, wasted too much time on it. But I did watch, and I don't think I watched all, I think I watched part of SmackDown, but not all of it before I erased it. Because it just gets erased as soon as Raw starts. But I did see Rollins and them pointing out the car again on SmackDown. And they mentioned it, you know, earlier in the show, and they had the segments with them driving around Chicago. Like, and as soon as it was out there and Lesnar walked past it, I'm just like, or Lesnar actually showed up, I'm just like, he's taking out that car.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to be, like, swinging axes at that damn thing and just, okay. This is an argument, being a friend of mine. How easy is it to? Did they do anything to that car door to loosen it up, or did Brock Lesnar just brute strength just rip that thing off its hinges?
Because
it came off really easily.
I've got to think that they did something to make that a little bit easier, but I'm not sure how you make that easier unless you just kind of loosen the screws a little bit so that they're on tight. But I mean, the door didn't like fall down or anything. I'm not completely sure how you do that, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
I mean, I guess it might have just been Brock Lesnar just filled with so much adrenaline, just
it
that strong.
It just looked like fun. That was the other thing. Like, that's one of those things that when they have that, like, pay $10 to hit a car with a sledgehammer, like, they used to do that a decent chunk in college, I felt like. And it just was always fun to just go away and pound on something for a little bit. And Brock Lesnar looked like he was having fun doing just that.
It was fun. It was a it harkened back to the Attitude Era. It was something just completely fun, destructive, potentially dangerous. It was a great segment. I mean, it was something you don't, and it does make me wonder something though. When back in the Attitude Era, when they were doing stunts with vehicles and crushing vehicles and things of that nature with Austin or the cement truck and anything else, it was a period where they were making. They were the most profitable they were in their entire, you know, run. They haven't done anything where they destroyed a vehicle in a long time. And they destroyed a $50,000 car. So it makes me wonder, is this second quarter report that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks going to be very favorable? Is the free month, gimmick actually working? Because they haven't destroyed an expensive car in a long time, and it's really in well over a decade.
Well, and I do think that in a lot of ways goes back to Brock Lesnar. Like, they have done a great job of making him an attraction. I mean, it does make it hard for him to have opponents. But they have done an excellent job of making him an attraction.
Oh yeah, believe me, I had, you know, mega casual fans who were, you know, sharing that on Facebook today. I don't know if you had that kind of, because, you know, it's Brock Lesnar destroying a car. I mean, how the hell do you not enjoy watching that?
Yeah, well, there was another thing that would lead me to say that. The John Cena versus Cesaro Part 2 match.
I'm calling it my match of the year. Because I will always just... To me, a great match in WWE because of, you know, my own history with WWE, and even if the commentary isn't the greatest, it's... You know, the understanding of the angles and whatnot, and just the emotion involved in a great WWE match. I'll always put a great WWE match over, say, a great anything I saw, say, at the Tokyo Dome back in January. Which I know a lot of people will want to kill me for, but...
Well, that's why we're here, to have people try and kill us.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I absolutely love that match. I love everything about it. Just a great match.
And it's even one of those things that to me, and I said it in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw, that if the WWE writers and people don't get Cesaro at this point, like there is no hope. Like, the guy could be around for a really long time, but he's really at kind of a make or break point, because I feel like this is his third time that he's gotten something significant like this, and he needs to capitalize on it.
And, absolutely. They need to capitalize.
And I mean, I think that he delivered on the mic too. Like, it wasn't just. Because the problem has never been his in-ring work. I don't think anyone's ever really questioned that. Even the WWE brass has put him in some very good match situations in the past.
Yeah, but never the final match on Raw, never for that long. Never with an overrun that went to 11:15 p.m. So...
Holy cow! It
had to be something of a vote of confidence in him. Now, where it goes from here, now, I guess that would be the question. I mean, does he stay in the mix with Cena and Owens? Do they go with a triple threat at SummerSlam? Or does it transition to, if Owens beats Cena, does it transition to just Owens versus Cesaro? And does that, you know, would Owens versus Cesaro without John Cena involved stay high on the card, or would it get lost in the shuffle? I think you know that's to be answered.
They
had the great match. It's all in the follow-up.
That's kind of the interesting thing, is that he kind of got hidden again a little bit after Tyson Kidd got hurt. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I didn't expect last week's match.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't expect it at all either.
It was a really, I enjoyed last week's match immensely. And this one topped that. It was given more time, which certainly does not hurt. And there was no interference, either.
Right, yeah. They got their match their way. John Cena, during this U.S. title reign, John Cena's having the best matches of his career at 38 years old, in the, holding the secondary championship. That he has just elevated to a ridiculous degree, which, once again, it's kind of, it's probably time of battleground for, Cena to lose the title to Owens. It's just, where do they go from there? Does Cena Owens continue? Does Cesaro stay in the mix? Those are the questions.
Right. And, I guess there isn't that much to say about that match, other than just the appreciation for.
If you haven't seen it, go out and watch it.
Yeah, if somehow you listen to this podcast and you haven't seen this, it was funny. I guess I actually did the match justice. I've got to admit, I do not describe the matches as much as I once did in the column. But that match, at least when it really kind of kicked into gear, I looked at it after Jeremy had noted it, and I'm like, oh, I really did type a lot about this match. Because it was a lot of fun.
See, and that's why I just gave up on doing the play-by-play event or the third part of any show, because I just want to be completely engrossed in a match like that and not have to worry about typing anything out or taking any notes at all.
Yeah, I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it does work to actually write about that stuff sometimes. Oh, that's why I'd cut back on it. But, I guess I'll have to figure it out on my own.
Right.
Hats off to them. Hats off. I mean, and Kevin Owens, really, again, in this whole situation, doing a great job. Because was he on the headset again?
No.
Okay. He just was last week. But, I mean, I think he set a really good tone to set up this segment. Cesaro did a great job countering him. And, we got another fantastic match. It's one of the few times that you kind of pointed out how long it overran. It is probably I think it is the only overrun that has gone that far that I have not complained about.
Yeah, and I guess that says it all, because you hate those overruns.
Yeah, and I was on time, too, so that's what helped me just watch the overrun all by itself. I hate when I'm watching the DVR and then it cuts off whenever my...
That would have been a tragedy this week.
and you're just like, oh, crap, I gotta get to... in this case, it happens to be channel 233. Like, you just start to panic because you're just rushing to get back over. Like, oh shit, what am I gonna miss? So yeah, I mean, yeah, there can't be much more said, and I don't think there needs to be much more said about wrestling this week, because I am thankful that we've filled up an hour with the WWE. I feel no need to talk about those morons both at Global Force Wrestling and Impact Wrestling, because
I'm just going through life like
fuck them,
watching the show, and just I'll follow the ADC on online. That's all that's said about it. That's
okie doke. Well, another maybe repeat sippy time beer. I'm just about done with my variety 12 pack. Mount Carmel Amber Ale. Very good company out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Really enjoy their stuff. Nothing too flashy, but it's just really, really good beer. So I will go out on that. Chris?
And I will say goodnight.
Okie doke, grandkids. Enjoy.